Hello, everyone. I'm George from Ireland, and here I am wondering aloud what the consequences of this war against Iran are going to be. Now, we're over a fortnight in. Remember, several days ago, Donald J. Trump said it was completed, almost, and that demanding unconditional surrender. Well, he hasn't repeated that one, and there's no sign whatsoever from the Iranians that they are going to surrender conditionally or unconditionally, and so on. So, to begin with, I seem to go very well for the United States because they were able to use their advantages to the max, which is air power. They had complete air superiority. None of their planes being shot down over Iran. One crashed over Iraq, not to do with enemy action. Some shot down over Kuwait by the Kuwaitis, misidentification, and so on. And they've lost is only 13 troops killed. And then they can fire their missiles and so on. So a minimal loss to themselves. But the Iranians have had the better of it in other ways. Yes, the Iranian Navy has been largely sent to the bottom of the ocean. But the thing is, they can really hurt Uncle Sam where it hurts in the wallet, hitting these refineries' economic targets. Now, the United Nations has reminded people that that's, you mustn't attack civilian infrastructure. And both sides have been doing this. And the Americans saying we're actually beginning to run out of military targets because these are Iraqi, sorry, Iranian military units can just be dispersed and so on. So, So no ground war. Will the Americans try and seize Kharg Island, which is where most of the Iranian oil goes out of and things like that? The Americans promised the Gulf Arab countries they would be able to keep the Strait of Hormuz open, and they have failed. Now, they might be able to do it later on, bringing in even more vessels and so on. But the Iranians have really, driven up the price of oil and gas, say it can go up to $200 a barrel. Now, people I know say, well, there's no way it can actually go that high. It can go high, but not quite up to $200 a barrel. Although that is the equivalent of where it was in 1973, that oil shock, when Gulf Arab countries simply stopped producing oil for a few months to penalize Western countries for supporting Israel. Iran did not stop that because they're not an Arab country. They're friendly with the United States at the time. So this could go one of two ways. I mean, is it going to lead to regime change? It really doesn't look like it. There's no sign. I mean, it's even more quiescent than I would have expected. And plus, obviously, the Iranian state media can just lie all the time, and they can shut off the internet, so the people, protesters, just can't communicate. The other point is, so probably no regime change, but Iran thinks they can actually have Western countries pleading with them to stop because the oil and gas prices have got so high. The Iranians might go one or two ways: that either or the war is over. The only thing is, we've got to have a nuclear bomb. We've done everything we can to prove we don't have a military nuclear program, and they've attacked us anyway repeatedly. So we better may as well have one. We could at least threaten them with that, or indeed use it. People often underestimate the stoicism of the Iranians, their willingness to take casualties, which would just boggle the mind of a Westerner. Or the other one would say, okay, we're just going to have to even give up our civilian nuclear energy program. And then the other countries will be convinced that we'll just never be a threat to them, and they won't bother us again, because to build up their conventional armed forces are going to take a very long time. I mean, certainly their navy, their air force is pretty useless. These are often planes over half a century old and things like that. Even their ground forces, though big, they just don't have the latest equipment and so on. And how about Israel? So Israel think that they really, if there was any nuclear risk from the Iran, it's just put back 30 years or something. That they've trashed Iran's allies in Lebanon, Hezbollah, that Syria is just not going to bother them because the Syrians have got so much rebuilding to do after 13 years. Maybe they're stronger than ever. Jordan, Egypt staying out of it. It's solidified their relationship with Gulf Arab countries, more of whom might recognize Israel and just overlook genocide against the Palestinians. So the Kurds, wisely, I'm saying neutral in this one. Western countries are going to build up their armed forces and so on. The Chinese will see what the Americans are capable of doing. Is China preparing an attack on Taiwan right now? Why all these small boats massing around Taiwan? I mean, I don't think it's preparatory for an invasion, but I just can't explain it otherwise. Some sort of espionage or mine laying or like what? Because if the Chinese were going to take Taiwan, this might be the moment to do it, when America's hands are full and the world is distracted. But I thought that, ships taking oil and gas to China and to India and so on have been allowed through countries with good relations to Iran. So maybe other countries could rely on the Chinese good offices, say the oil is coming to you and then sell it on to us. So China's position has seldom been stronger. Goodness. So maybe some concessions are going to have to be made to Iran as well to say we will recognize you can have civilian nuclear energy, or we promise not to take your territory, pay compensation. I'm not sure what could be done. goodness, what do you think? The breakup of Iran, it doesn't seem likely. And actually, is that a better situation we've got now? We just don't know. It could be even worse. But Trump has set a more dangerous precedence. If you think a head of state is a bad one, you can kill him with impunity. International law has just been battered. That you can arrogate to yourself the right to dictate the formation of another country's government and things like that. You can attack another country when there's no imminent attack coming on you. Even Trump never didn't say the Iranians were about to attack the United States. And he did make his case in the State of Union address just days before the attack. He's not gone on television to outline to the American public why this was essential, because I'm not necessarily against fighting, but you should only fight when it's absolutely necessary, and this is absolutely unnecessary, and so on. So Netanyahu's probably been doing this because Israel's got used to conflict. I mean, war has been the norm for like 2.5 years. I mean, obviously we've been fighting on and off all through since the refoundation of Israel in 1948. But the last 2.5 years, 7th of October, he prolonged that war because remember there were these massive protests in the streets in Israel, the like of it had never been seen. There were people demanding new elections. He may well have lost those. He's facing these trials for corruption and so on. And he managed to unite the country to divert attention and to delay his trials and so on. And I don't know, these cases can be dropped through lack of through lapse of time. I don't know what Israeli law is like. Is there a statute of limitations? And he's managed to preserve his premiership. What else? And he says victories like never before. He said he's been itching to attack Iran like this for 40 years. And he thought this is a golden opportunity. This will never come again. A president who's so willing to do his bidding without considering the repercussions for the world of oil and gas. I mean, Western countries might say we're going to have to go even faster with solar power, wind power, because we're not buying it from Russia. Obviously, easing the sanctions on Russia, which the United States has done temporarily, that has thrown a lifeline to Russian economy, which was close to being on its knees after all these sanctions. So unfortunately, it's going to prolong the Ukraine war. Ukraine's gained from it insofar as people are seeing the indispensability of Ukrainian expertise in countering these drones, especially these Shahed drones. The Russians learned from the Iranians on Shahed, on sanctions evasion. Now the Iranians are learning from their Russian friends about the drone tactics, low and fast, so that make them very hard to detect or to shoot down and things like that. So there's yet more cases for beefing up armaments. Gulf Arab countries say we really can't rely on the United States. We're going to have to increase our armed forces, and maybe conscription, be willing to stand on our own and things like that. Oman's policy of neutrality has come into its own. That has paid dividends. And there might be Gulf Arab countries who say we'll go the other way. We'll actually no military alliance, no foreign military bases, and then the Iranians will leave us alone. And Iran has always demonizes the aggressor. Well, obviously, what about Israel? All right. So, goodness. I would really like this war to end now, but the Iranians may have concluded that the West needs to be taught a very painful lesson. So, Trump might want to end it, but they're not going to end it for a few weeks at least. Thanks for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, then on PayPal, georgecarlin7@gmail.com. Goodbye.